Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Had a special request. Will I talk a little bit about the Ukraine today before I get into some things concerning the Passover? And I will. I think that it's very interesting. All of these things are going to bring about the formation of what the Bible brings in prophecy. And a lot of things we do not connect because hindsight is better than foresight, and hindsight is better than trying to figure it out as it's going along. So we'll figure out what we can do here. Okay? So let's pick it up here. Mark 13, let's pick it up in verse 5. And what we will see is Jesus is telling us, don't be anxious over these things. We've got enough problems at hand right now. Okay, verse 5. And Jesus, in answering them, began to say, be on guard. And that's something we need to be on guard all the time. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. Lest anyone deceive you. And then, of course, there's another scripture which says, by any means. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For it is necessary that these things come to pass. Necessary means it's obligatory that they come to pass. For what? To fulfill the prophecies. So when we look at a step of prophecies, we have to look at the overall picture as well. But I think Putin was really smart in what he did, because they had the Olympic Games in Sochi, which is not far from the Ukraine. So everybody was worried about all of the terrorists and maybe bombings. He says, don't worry, we'll set up an iron curtain. So he brought down lots of troops close to the Ukraine. So when he was ready, bang, it was done before anybody could think of anything. They couldn't use their satellites to view the troops coming from different part of Russia. They were already there. And I think that he looks upon the president, much like it says there in Ecclesiastes 10:16, woe to the land when your king is a child. And I think he is running over the president like a steamroller flattening out asphalt. But don't be worried. There's enough to take place. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in different places. There shall be famines and disasters, planes crashing into the ocean. See? You think you're safe, and all of a sudden, at 35,000 feet, poop, they think they found an oil slick. But they know it's not a bomb, because there would be pieces scattered all over. So they don't know what it is. See? So whenever men get to thinking, we have everything perfect physically, watch out. Okay? Disasters. These things are the beginning of sorrows, so we do not know. We do not know how bad it's going to get. And I keep thinking of places like New York City. What on earth are they going to do with no electricity? How are the people going to behave and react? It is going to be unbelievable. That's why he says, concerning the tribulation, that it is something that is so unique it hasn't happened from the beginning of the world. Guard. Again, verse 9. But keep yourselves on guard. Now, why? Because for Satan the devil, we are the most important ones to get rid of. That's why. Talk about that a little later. For they shall deliver you up to councils and synagogues. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness against them. Now that has happened in the past. It'll happen in the future. Come down here to verse 19. Verse 19. For in those days, that is when the great tribulation starts, shall be great tribulation such as has not been the like from the beginning of creation that God created until this time, nor ever shall be again. And yet, we can look and see all the things that happened in World War II and things like that. If you have the military channel, you can see all the things that took place there. They lost 55 million people in World War II. Now, what's happening in America? Okay. Everyone thinks that the president is the problem. The president is a problem, but not the problem. The problem rests at the pulpit of all the churches, synagogues, and cathedrals, because they have rejected the word of God. And it rests upon all of those concerning the obsession of sex, the obsession of drugs, the obsession of music that people have today, that they live in a fantasy world. There's no reality for them. They've cast the word of God behind them. So, the religious leaders are the one. You can blame the president, you can blame the Congress, you can blame the governors, you can blame the state officials and all of that sort of thing. But there's one great grand principle that we need to learn in it. You can never solve spiritual problems by physical means. And every one of our problems are spiritual, going against God. So that's all I want to cover on the Ukraine, except to say, because America is declining, Europe is in trouble. So this is going to force the Europeans to start standing on their own 2 feet. And we know the King of the North is going to come out of Europe. So something's going to have to happen in Europe to turn the people's attention to it. Very similar to the days of when Hitler marched into Czechoslovakia and said, oh, I'm a great hero, we're going to help protect all these German people. And oh, all you Austrians down there just below Czechoslovakia, wir sind Deutsch, we're all German, invite us in. Yes, that's exactly what Putin did. So nothing really changes in the long run. All right, now, let's change to something else. I received a very interesting email from a gentleman down in South Africa. And he has an issue with calling the holy days annual Sabbaths. So he says, getting into it, there are 52 weeks. So he says, this means there are already 52 annual Sabbath days during the year, one for each week. Now, this is a misnomer in definition. The seventh day Sabbath is weekly. It is not annual. Every one of the holy days, including the Passover, occur once a year. Now, he gave me a little escape by saying, well, you don't say any of that in the scriptures, but you say it in the commentary and footnotes. And if you would just please correct those, then we can send the Bible to the Queen of England, and she can order the Church of England to make it the official Bible. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Okay? Now then, he acknowledges that there are four additional days in Leviticus 23 that talks about other Sabbaths. So let's go, first of all, to Leviticus 23. Now remember, what we covered last time. Satan likes to come along with plausible sounding arguments so that he can get a toehold. And what is the whole purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? To get rid of sin, to put in righteousness. And the whole purpose is, and Satan knows this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So, this fits in well with Satan's purpose, though this man is well-intended. All good things that men bring up are well-intended, but they can't see the end result of it. Okay? So we'll look at these right here. Let's ask a question. Who created the appointed times? God did. And with the calendar, I'm still getting calendar problems. Satan never lets go of the calendar. See? And part of that problem was this, that the Hebrew calendar is drifting a little, so is the Gregorian calendar drifting a little. Okay? And pretty soon, we'll be keeping Passover out of season. They got all excited. Upset brethren. Oh, we got to get rid of the postponements because we're drifting out of balance and the Hebrew calendar's all wrong. Well, when would we be out of season? Next year? 10 years? 20 years? No. After the year 3000. Okay. So, do you suppose Christ will be back before that time? And I mentioned to him, in the final analysis, what is God going to do? He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where perfection is. There's no perfection now because of the sins of men, the sins of Satan and the demons. So that's why we have adjustments and postponements. All right? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, they belong to him, he owns them, he determines when they shall be, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my appointed feast." And the first one is the weekly Sabbath. Okay? That's appointed. Fourth commandment says what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? Then verse 4. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons, which means at the time of the year that they should be, and God is the one who has determined it. Okay? All right. We've covered about Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arba'im, and if you want an abbreviation for Bein Ha'arba'im, it is Bah, B-H-A. In the 14th day of the first month, between the two evenings, is the Lord's Passover, and that has to be at the beginning of the day. We'll rehearse that again. Now, there are some people who say, well, you combine the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread together because it says you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. But what are you supposed to eat on the Passover? Hamburger buns? No. Okay. And on the 15th day, God defined a day what it would be, and he lives by that. Does he not? Yes. In the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. You must eat unleavened bread 7 days. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. Holy convocation. And it says, you shall not do any servile work therein. Now, it doesn't call it a Sabbath here, but it does in some other place. Okay? So we will examine that in a little bit. Okay? You shall offer an offering by fire to the Lord 7 days, And in the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. All right, before we go to Exodus 12, come over here to verse 32. Verse 32. It shall be a Sabbath to you, a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves in the ninth day of the month at sunset. That ends the day, the ninth. From sunset to sunset, which is what? The tenth day. Come down here to verse 27. Also on the tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and it is called a Sabbath. Okay? Verse 32, Sabbath of rest. From sunset to sunset you shall keep your Sabbath. Now the Septuagint translates keep your Sabbaths, plural. Not just Sabbath, Sabbaths. All right. Now let's come back here to Exodus 12, and let's just review a couple of things before we go forward, and see that, yes, the first and the last days of unleavened bread are holy days. Now there's only one that is not called a Sabbath. And we will see that's the seventh day of unleavened bread. All right, so we'll just review here. They were to select a lamb for the Passover on the tenth day of the first month. They were to keep it until the 14th. Not into the 14th, not after the 14th, but until the 14th. Okay? Now, the year that the Passover was during the Exodus was in the middle of the week. So they selected it on the 10th, which was Sabbath. 10, 11, 12, 13. Right after the 13th. It doesn't go into the 14th. 4 days. Okay? On the fourth day, they killed it. Right at the end of the fourth day. Okay? Now, verse 6, you shall keep it up until the beginning of the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the two evenings. There's only one time that is, from sunset until dark, and you can read in the Passover book that when I was in San Antonio, Texas, we were in that high-rise restaurant, and we went up there about, and it was the spring of the year. We went up there, I think about 5:30, something like that, so we could, and it was rotating, and we could look around and see the whole area, and Texas is flat. So we said, well, let's watch it. So we watched the sun come and touch the horizon and go below the horizon. That's Ba'erev, that ends the day. So we timed it. And it took an hour and 10 minutes before dark arrived. That's between the two evenings, okay? And we're up so high, we could look over here and see just a little bit of light in the sky in the west, and look over here in the east, and it's all black and dark and coming, see? Okay? That's between the two evenings. All right. Then he said, how to kill it, how to eat it. You roast it with fire. You eat unleavened bread, and Passover is a day of unleavened bread, separate from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Now, verse 14 says, I'll Passover when I see the blood, etc. And this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast as a law forever. Okay? That ends all the instruction for the Passover day. Verse 15 begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So remember this. Verse 14 concludes the 14th day of the first month. Verse 15 begins the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And God says there are two meanings to it. For the Passover, It is commemorating God passing over the houses of the children of Israel and sparing the firstborn. And unleavened bread is commemorating when they left Egypt. Two distinct things. They weren't combined together. However, you also need to consider this, that the Jews could not keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, as we have covered, when they are in the diaspora. And so rather than admit their sins, except one rabbi, a Karaite rabbi, said, the reason we don't do anything on the 14th anymore is because we are in the diaspora, we have been exiled from the land because of our sins, and we are walking in the footsteps of our forefathers. And I've got it in the Passover book, and I'm pointing over here because we have a little library there, and I've got one there. So if you haven't read the Passover book, get it. But be prepared. Put your thinking cap on. Satan likes to complicate it. Think of this. If we had none of the traditions of men, none of the teachings of Satan the devil, would it be hard to understand? No, because the whole world would understand it, right? Yes. Now, we're going to see how Ba'erev, or sunset, is applied here. Verse 15, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. Even the first day you shall have put leaven out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat, that only may be done by you. Now, listen carefully to verse 17. And you shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, for in the same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this day in your generation as a law forever. Now we know that they left in the evening as the sun was going down, ending the 14th day. They had to come from their houses in the land of Goshen, assemble at Ramses, and get all ready to go. It's not like some people think, right after they ate the Passover and the firstborn were killed, they could just automatically leave their homes. Well, no, because God said don't leave until sunrise. Okay? Now, listen carefully to verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at sunset. Remember how atonement is defined. From sunset on the 9th. Okay? From sunset to sunset, you shall observe your Sabbath. This in the Hebrew is Ba'erev. At sunset, which ends the 14th. That means that the first day of unleavened bread is the day following the Passover. Okay? You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset, ending that day. So, you count 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Complete days. Now, what the Jews have done, because they can't keep a 14th Passover, they keep a 15th, what they call Passover, but it is a combination of the night to be much observed and a semi-Passover meal. They call it a Seder. Okay. Now then, notice how it defines both of these days. Holy convocation shall not do servile work. All right. Let's come back here to Leviticus 23 again, and let's see what it says concerning the day of Pentecost. So what defines a holy day? in his holy convocation shall do no servile work therein. Okay? That's a holy day. All right. Let's see what it says here concerning Pentecost. Okay? Tells you how to count it. Okay? Now come down here to verse 21, Leviticus 23. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it may be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Pentecost, the 50th day, is a holy convocation. All right? Now, the gentleman who sent this paper makes a distinction because it clearly calls trumpets a Sabbath, atonement a Sabbath, first day of tabernacles a Sabbath, and the eighth day a Sabbath. And they have the same instructions for them. Let's read it. Verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of ram's horns, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. We already covered the Day of Atonement. It is a Sabbath. Now, let's come down here for the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Let's read it. 15th day, verse 34, of the seventh month, you have Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, no servile work. 7 days, make offerings and so forth. These are, verse 37 now, these are the feast of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations to offer an offering made by fire, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything on its days, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord. So here, he's calling them all Sabbaths. So are these to be observed annually? Yes. So these we can rightly call annual Sabbaths. That cannot apply to something that is done weekly. Seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, let's read on here, verse 39. He repeats it again. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Same instructions. Now, let's come to John 19, and we will see where it is called in the New Testament, the day after the Passover is called a high day. John 19, okay? That's why, where we started, be on guard. And I know when they first started bringing in the things concerning, as I pointed out, concerning the Passover, it was difficult to understand, okay, because of a wrong translation. Now, we'll cover that here in just a second. Okay, now let's come to verse 31. Now, unfortunately, the man in his paper calls the naming of this a high day as a Jewish tradition. But that's not correct. It's not a Jewish tradition. Okay, verse 31, the Jews therefore, so that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, okay, because it was a preparation day, for that Sabbath was a high day. Now then, after the Passover is observed in the evening, then you come full circle, sunrise, morning. Now what do you have? You have preparation for the first day of unleavened bread, a holy day. Okay? So in the week that Jesus died, there were two preparation days. One, for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Two, for the regular Sabbath. Now you can read that in the Harmony of the Gospels, where I synchronize all the scriptures and show how it flows very easily. All right, but notice what it says. John writes this, not a tradition. John put this in parenthetical statements, for that Sabbath was a high day. So what do we have? We have five out of the holy days directly called Sabbaths. We don't have it directly calling a Sabbath for the seventh day of unleavened bread, but it's a holy convocation, shall do no servile work therein. We don't have it called a Sabbath for Pentecost, but we have it called a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Okay? Also, when we have the Passover, very interesting. Let's come back here to Numbers 28. And this is something that the Jews miss entirely, as they claim that the Passover lambs have to be slain at the temple. Okay? Numbers 28. Now, Numbers 28 and 29 list all the obligatory offerings that were to be given at the temple, commanded by God. The evening and the morning sacrifice, the Sabbath sacrifice, the first of the month sacrifice. Now, come down here to verse 16. This is very interesting. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover. Are any sacrifices commanded at the temple? These are temple-commanded sacrifices to be done by the priests. If it were required to be done at the temple, don't you think God would have said so? Yes, indeed. All right. Let's just use this as an example here. And in the 15th day of this month, verse 17, is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no kind of servile work, but you shall offer an offering made by fire for a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, and they shall be to you without blemish. Then the grain offering, the drink offering for them, okay? And verse 22, 1 goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you, and you shall prepare these besides the burnt offering at sunrise, which is for the continual burnt offering. Then you go through and read all the offerings that were required. Okay? Now then, how do we answer the dilemma? The dilemma of Deuteronomy 16. Because that's the first place. And the Jews go there and say that when the temple was set up, the commandment was changed to have the Passover lambs sacrificed at the temple. Now that I have the King James Version here, and many of the English translations, even put out by the Jews themselves, cover their error, just like here in the King James Version. Okay? So let's read it. Deuteronomy 16. Okay. Verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you forth out of the land of Egypt by night. See? Now, they don't separate that as being two different days. You therefore shall sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. You may not have any remain the that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. There shall be no leavened bread seen with you, seen in your coast 7 days, neither shall there be anything of the flesh which this sacrifice the first day at even remain all night until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there, you shall sacrifice the Passover at even at the going down of the sun at the season you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it. Okay? If you followed along in the faithful version, you will notice the errors. Okay? So, let's look at them. And I think I'll just keep it up here from now on. Okay. Let's read it. Keep the month of Abib and observe the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. You shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and the herd. Did we read any place in Exodus 12 to set aside a nice choice little calf? No. Okay. What kind of Passover offerings are these? The Passover meal itself or something different? Something different. In the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread with it 7 days with it. Is the Passover 7 days long? No. The bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. You shall remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. When did they come forth? On the 14th or the 15th? The 15th. Okay? Now let's go on. No leaven, first day, okay. Verse 4, okay, let's come down here. Let's come down here to verse 6. But at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at sunset at the going down of the sun at the time you came forth out of Egypt. That is at the end of the 14th. Okay. Then it says 6 days. 7th day is solemn convocation. Okay. Where is the place I wanted to read here? Verse 7. Yes, verse 7. And you shall boil. The Hebrew word here is to boil. And the command in Exodus 12 was you shall not boil it in water at all. So what are we talking about here? Where were they to bring all the other sacrifices? The only sacrifice that they could do at home was the sacrifice of the Passover lamb for a domestic Passover. Okay? Come back to Exodus 13, and we will see. So on the day portion of the Passover, after they kept the Passover on the 14th at night as the day began, then they were preparing other sacrifices which could be boiled, which included the bovine or the calf. See? All right. Exodus 13 and verse 2. This is what God told them on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sanctify all the firstborn to me, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart unto the Lord all that opens the womb, and every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, the males are the Lord's. And every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem it with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Okay? Now, read verse 14. And it shall come to pass when your son asks you in the time to come, what does this mean? You shall say to him, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt by the strength of his hand from the house of bondage. Ties right in with Exodus 16. All the offerings that they prepared on the day portion of the Passover day, after they kept the Passover, the night of the 14th, were what? The special firstborn redemption offerings. All the males went to God. All the females, because some of the firstborn are female, they could eat them themselves. That was their festival tithe. So, this helps distinguish for us several things. The meaning of each day. That the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a holy convocation, therefore, and it is called a Sabbath. We can conclude that it's entirely proper to call the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread a Sabbath, the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread a Sabbath, and the Feast of Pentecost a Sabbath. Therefore, it is entirely correct to describe them as the seven annual Sabbaths of God. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but if you want to send a Bible to the Queen, by all means, do so.